It's been a very tough industry to be in, and some people have left it, some people are struggling. My goal to the end of this is to get everyone smiling at Christmas. You know, what will be, but if I can get everyone to Christmas smiling with enthusiasm and real excitement about 2020, that's going to be a great successful year for me.
You are listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent.
And I'm Mark Edwards. I'm the publisher from Elite Agent. And here we are again.
I know. You're still here.
I am. You haven't gone anywhere.
Haven't deserted me yet.
No, not yet.
That's excellent news.
Winning. Who have we got on the podcast this week, Sam?
One of my favorite guys in real estate, basically, hands down.
Okay. All right. Well, enjoy the podcast.
I suppose we should say a little bit more.
I thought I was a favourite.
Well, yeah, you're up there, but you know there are others. You know that. But this week, actually, I'm really excited to introduce to you Dean O'Brien from O'Brien Real Estate in Victoria.
Him and Darren been on the cover.
They have. They were on the cover a couple of years ago, actually. They spoke at ARPM, and both the two of them and their partner, Stav, they run a great business. They've grown it from like one business up to, I think, 27 offices now in Victoria. And really, I mean, you know, they started the business in 2010, and I think they've really become quite an admired business. And the way that I sort of think about it is this, is, you know, when you're watching a grand final between a couple of footy teams, like, or a final between a couple of footy teams, and neither of them is your team. Mm.
You got to gravitate to one side, don't you?
You gravitate to one side. And I think the side, like, it's almost like, you know, New Zealand in the World Cup. Like, if the Wallabies are out, then most Australians will kind of gravitate to New Zealand. And I think O'Brien's the same. Like, they are the sort of team that anyone would back, because people just seem to like O'Brien and like their culture. And they've just built up such a good people business. You know, and I think that's part of the reason that everyone is drawn to them. So I really wanted to do the leadership diaries with Dean, because obviously their success leaves clues, you know, that old chestnut in real estate, success leaves clues. I think there's a few clues here about how they do balance people and purpose. And I think Dean is definitely a leader's leader. I remember he said, you know, it's been a bit of an interesting year. All we want to do is get people through to the end of the year
with smiles
on their faces. Mm. And that's how much their people mean to them. So in this podcast, we're going to go over some of Dean's people strategies, what he looks at for recruitment, how they've set about growing the business from one office in 2010 through to 27 offices now, and what they're thinking about for the new year. We're talking about how they're values led too. Like, you know, so basically it's a bit like ours. Like, we set our values early on, which were elevate, educate, entertain.
And got to pass through those gates before anything gets a look in.
Like a filter, yeah. So
I can understand why this one's going to be a very good contender for the leadership diaries.
Yeah, so, and we did talk about different trends coming up for 2020 in both sales and property management, you know, books, all the rest of it. There's a lot of links in this. There's a lot of links in all of them these days.
There are.
Because we make sure that we get all of these value bombs out of our guests. Now,
it's almost like KPI, a value bomb.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not happy until I've got at least six links.
But it's not just the links as well, is it? It's like, so what we've been able to draw away from the conversation during the conversation. So some of the things that you may think, that is a really great idea, and we actually capture that within the actual show notes themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, so we don't call them show notes anymore. Well, we call them action guides. That's right, because we only take down the actionable tips and not all of the fillers and the fluff. And if you'd like to download the action guide from this episode and take action, obviously, because ideas without action are nothing. Great Steve Jobs said that.
Yes.
Download an action guide, eliteagentelevate.com.
And if you love them so much, you can support the show by becoming a subscriber to Extra, which means that every month on your desk will come from the Australia Post.
We love Australia Post.
They're great guys and gals. 40-odd page newsletter every month will come to you, and we're covering all of the shows from the month, and potentially a couple of extra bonus episodes in there.
Yeah, we always do. We always include a couple of bonuses because we like to over-deliver. So, and plus, you know, there's always a few insights in there from us about what's going on in the industry and how it might affect you.
Well, they're written also in a way that you don't actually need to have the podcast in your ears as well. So you can actually pick up the episode, read through, get all of the nuggets from the actual show itself and the links.
Do you remember those Spark Notes or those Cliffs Notes from high school?
Yes.
Like, you know, I never wanted to read Tess of the d'Urbervilles. I hope my English teacher's not listening. I used to go straight for the crib notes, and that's kind of what these action guides are, or that's what we designed them to be. So hopefully you like those. And remember, the URL is eliteagentelevate.com.
Right. Well, I think we need to just jump straight into the value here. Listen, learn, and enjoy Dean O'Brien.
So welcome to the podcast, Dean O'Brien.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation.
It's good to have you here, and it's good to see you again, actually, since you were in Sydney not that long ago and we managed to catch up and keep bumping into each other at various things.
Look, I really appreciate the opportunity, and it's always great to catch up. I mean, you've been a fantastic supporter of us. You come down and the article with Darren and myself and Stav when we had a first summit. So thank you for that support as well.
Actually, a memory of that popped up on my Facebook feed yesterday because I was trying to take a selfie of myself in front of the Caulfield finishing post. and I can remember that day I was feeling a little bit like, you know, I don't take a good selfie on the best of days, but, you know, like sort of trying to, you know, get in the right spot and trying not to have your heels sink into that ground.
We're very lucky. That was a great day. You know, we had some great speakers. And last year we had our second one back at Caulfield Racecourse again.
Yeah. And you guys have actually just gone from strength to strength. You know, like it seems like this year, even though this year has been a little bit, you know, soft in terms of the market and things like that, you guys have actually still managed to grow your office footprint. So tell me about the last 12 months for O'Brien. How has it really been for you in the trenches?
To put it straight out there, it's been a very tough 12 months. I don't think anyone who's been in this industry would say that it's been the best ever 12 months. I'm sure some are winning. For us, it was a great learning experience. We had to learn very quickly and adapt boldly, to be quite honest, for that current marketplace. Given the fact that our organisation is still only 9 years young, a lot of our directors have never experienced a market like that. And we didn't have a lot of people in our organisation that could mentor them through that situation. So the corporate directors, and obviously led by Josh Fegan as our trainer, we took a really big, bold move and thought, okay, this, instead of growing rapidly like we were, let's come back, consolidate, and get back into front of our customers, which is our team, and spend a lot more time with that. And funny enough, through that transition of that period and actually being in front of our team led to more opportunities for us.
Yeah, amazing. And, I mean, so you've been in business for 10 years, which is both a long time and a short time. Like it feels like to me O'Brien's been around forever. For those people that sort of outside of Victoria that may not be as familiar with O'Brien, can you give us a little bit of the story about how you and Darren and Stav got together in the beginning?
Darren and I worked together at another agency, and I suppose from the very day dot, we had a fantastic relationship. We shared a lot of the same values, same age, and was very excited. When we went out to open O'Brien Real Estate, we knew it'd be some challenges, but we sort of shared our vision together. Now, that vision was to have multiple offices in the city of Casey, where we are down here in Melbourne. We went out there, we explored that, and we took that challenge on. But what we didn't know when we were doing it, Stavros approached us from the Chelsea office and said, would you guys be interested in me licensing your brand and using that? We noticed your brand, we think it suits us very well. We got together, soon identified that Stav and Darren, myself, were very much aligned with our values and very much aligned with where we wanted to go and vision. And we said, okay, if we want to do this together, let's just really do it properly. So we opened our first one in 2010, October 2010. Naturally, second one the year after, third one the year after, which was we went Berwick, Narre, Cranbourne. And then Chelsea come on board 4 years after in our fourth year. So we had four in the first 4 years. And since then, obviously, we put another 23 on in the last five.
Yeah. So how many is that off? That's now 27?
27, yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
And talking about it, we've got some really great people. But look, last year was testing. We consolidated a few offices, not necessarily shut them down, but actually brought them, merged them back into another bigger business to make them stronger. And that was probably one of the key things we learned very early on, is that we didn't want to have offices in isolation. We needed to actually get strength within those existing offices, which again allowed us to create more opportunities in that area.
Yeah, amazing. And you just touched on something a little while ago that I'd love to dig into, which is your values. And it was something I've made the comment to you before that, you know, sometimes people that are parts of a group are kind of like, oh, I don't like that franchise or I don't like that franchise because there's a lot of franchise rivalry. But I've never heard anyone in or outside say a bad word about O'Brien. It's kind of like the football team that everybody is going to back if everyone else is not in the final. So what are your values and how do you think that sort of, you know, that fondness for O'Brien has come about from outside?
Look, that's so kind you say that, because that's probably one of the things we're most proud of is our culture. And to hear that from someone like yourself who gets in our organisation, knows the ins and outs business, look, that would probably be one of the proudest things that our team would ever hear, especially our corporate team, because we work on that on a daily basis. Our values are very simple: family, mutuality, realising potential, embracing change and health and energy. Now, we have a simple rule. Is like everything, that everything we do must be guided by those values. We don't have a training event without healthy food, with mental energy. If we've got to change something, it's about embracing change. And that's not just in the tech space or the training space. That can often be in changing markets, whether we're in the west of Melbourne, the southeast, we've all got to embrace change. But one of the biggest assets we have is that first one, which is family. And to walk into an office and treat everyone as a broader extension of your family. And also, that's not just internal customers or people we work with us, that's external. And, you know, we often walk in and go, okay, we're one big family, and that's what we want from it. So our values has possibly been the greatest piece of, oh, let's say, strategy, tech, whatever you want to do, one of the greatest assets we've ever brought into our business. And we surely are driven by them.
Yeah, I think values are such a good way to filter who you want to work with and who you want to do business with and how you're going to behave, that, you know, it's an amazing achievement. And I'm guessing again that that comes down to some of the dynamic between yourself and Darren and Stav. So I'm interested to know, like, with three very strong leaders at the helm of O'Brien, with different personalities obviously as well, how do you manage to get consensus and move the business forward?
Because of our values and our purpose. Like, our purpose at O'Brien Real Estate is to facilitate growth. So that's a very simple thing when you've got a purpose, because every decision we make is, will this facilitate growth in our organisation? And if the answer is yes, that's fantastic. We move it, we ship it. If the answer is no, then we put it aside. Now, we've got challenges. I think good businesses, good corporations have strong leaders, you know. But when we sit in a room, we are allowed to have a difference of opinion, but when we leave that room, we can only have one direction and have a clear understanding between the three of us and our corporate team led by Jason Mudford, is that we're allowed to have a difference of opinion, but when we leave that room, it's simply one direction, and that's the way we work.
That's good advice for other leaders too, trying to, you know, like, work out how to get the team on the same page. Speaking of which, with a new year coming up, are you thinking about your goals and strategy for 2020? How are you approaching that?
We're very excited about it, because we've had our planning meeting the other day, which we always do every 90 days. We have a two-day planning meeting come up in January, which is called more of our project planning. We catch up every 90 days. We have monthly. So our meeting rhythms are very strong in our organisation. 2020 is really exciting. We've already got, we know of 2 to 3, possibly 4 potential new offices coming on. We've also know that within our organisation, we're very engaged back in that, into the businesses that are established, because we sort of shifted, and with the excitement of new offices, you can often get distracted. But we understand that our existing businesses are our real growth, with the potential of coming new ones on. So our strategy is just being very simple. It's just people strategy next year. We've got a fantastic training platform. We have a fantastic career progression platform already in our organisation. We're really proud of. We have a culture platform. So it's just 2020 is going to be around our people. I think you and I spoke when I was up in Sydney, is over the last 18 months, it's been a very tough industry to be in, and some people have left it, some people are struggling. My goal to the end of this is to get everyone smiling at Christmas. You know, what will be, but if I can get everyone to Christmas smiling with enthusiasm and real excitement about 2020, that's going to be a great successful year for me.
Yeah, absolutely, because that sets you up for the new year, and there is a ton of stuff to look forward to. And I do want to ask you where you see the future of real estate, but we are here today to do the Leadership Diaries with you, which I've been looking forward to for quite some time. So this is a series of questions that we ask leaders such as yourself to inspire those that are up and coming and thinking about leadership and right in the trenches right now. So I know you're not quite prepared for this, but are you ready anyway?
I'll do my best.
All right. So first of all, what was your first job and what did it teach you?
My first job was in a family business, and I reckon it's still my greatest lesson in life. My first job, my family owned a small hotel in Alexandra Country, northeast Victoria, 2,500 people. It was my grandfather's, it was then my father's, and of course it was mine. Opportunity moving forward. So my first job was in the family business. What did it teach me? Two things it taught me is there's no such thing as 9 to 5 in a family business. Second thing was, in the country, all you have is your word. So when I got into real estate, I thought this is probably the best lesson for me, because I know it's not 9 to 5, and I know your word is what you are, so you just do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah, I would say it's exactly the same.
Yep.
What does the first hour of your day look like, and how does it go after that? Are you like a 5 a.m. clubber, or?
I'm a little bit earlier than 5 a.m.
Yep.
I get up about 4:15. Reason being for that is that I've got 3 young girls that get up. So for me to get up at that time, I'm allowed to get my exercise in. I struggle if I don't exercise. It's my time. So I can get up, I'll go for a run, I'll go to the gym, I'll alternate that Monday to Friday, then I'll sit back and I'll be able to just prepare so I can have breakfast with the kids before I go to work. So I tried 5, but I seemed to feel rushed, so I went 4:15, I feel a lot better, and allows me to be a little bit selfish with my time in the morning, but also allows me to have breakfast with my wife and the kids before I go to work, which is important to me.
Yeah, just makes you feel good, doesn't it, when you get that quality time?
Well, I'm not always home at the right time. So if I can make some time, it's better than nothing. And I get my time as well, and I get my exercise in.
We just talked about how you've been growing steadily since you opened the doors in 2010. What do you think has been the key to enable you to still grow in such a slow year?
I think it's our culture. I think it's believing in people. But if I put it down to what we've worked on over the last 9 years is our platforms. I think in our business, in the areas that we transact in, both in property management and sales, our training platform is probably nearly best on ground. I'm quite proud of it. Obviously, I think I've touched on it before, led by Josh Fegan. But now we've developed a fantastic property management training platform. So for an organisation, we have 10 training sessions every year. Last year, we're lucky enough to have Hayley Mitchell, which you spoke at the other day, and Michael Furlong and some others. Next year, it's the same thing. We've got professional trainers coming in our property management, as we do with Josh. So having that development in people and believing in the existing talent is really good to allow us to grow. On top of that, understanding our mission, and what we want to do is keep the mission. Don't play in a ground that we don't need to be in. We know our model. We believe in our model. And so just keep the mission.
Absolutely. What about outsourcing? Have you had a look at how outsourcing might fit into your business?
Oh, yeah, we're very engaged in outsourcing. We've been outsourcing for the last 2 years. I think it was, again, being a learner of real estate, I got stuck in an airport with Phil Harris for about 8 hours one day in San Francisco. So you can only imagine the energy required to keep with him for 8 hours.
How awesome.
But, yeah, it was awesome. And we just wrote down outsourcing, wrote down the do's and don'ts, the possibilities, and, you know, to actually have the ability to spend some time with Phil and on that, and then come back within 30 days. We went to the Philippines. We wrote procedures and policies. I now have it in property management, have it in administration, and also have it in our marketing team as well. So we would probably have, I think, maybe 16 to 18 at any given time in the Philippines at the moment. And they have become an extension of our family, and they have certainly been a great asset to our business.
Absolutely. obviously you're a mentor to quite a number of people within the O'Brien network, and I'm going to make this a little bit more difficult because I normally say, do you have a mentor or someone that inspires you? And I'm going to say, excluding Josh Fegan.
No, I do. Yeah, I do. Of course, I think everyone who needs to have a mentor in their life, I think there's sometimes, you know, I went through tough business, as everyone does, and I rang up a guy who's very important to me. It was a father, one of my father's best mates. Unfortunately, I lost my father years ago, and it's one of his best mates. And I said, Larry, what am I going to do? You know, this is this. He goes, that's all right, mate. We'll get through it. And he just calmed me down, realigned me, does that. And I still catch up with him, speak to him regularly, go snow skiing with him. He's fantastic. I've got another person that was a school teacher when I went through. I think he was an inspiring school teacher. He taught at my school for 50 years. I don't think anyone ever goes through that school without mentioning his name, just the way he treated people. My boarding master, Brother Doug, you know, like he was amazing to us, you know, as young kids. So I have mentors outside within my personal. I have what I call mentors that I grew up, and I think, what would I do if, what would Brother Doug do if he was here? What would Ray Carroll do if he was here? So, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I don't think you can have one mentor. I think, as you said, you know, lucky with that, I think you need to have multiple mentors in positions where they actually assist you with.
Yeah, so it's like a almost like a field team, like, you know.
It is. It's my go-to.
Yeah.
You know, like, as I said, with Larry Fallon, I think, you know, I've seen him build a business from zero to an extraordinary business. And, you know, I think sometimes I just need that calming, you know, and he's not in real estate, which is, makes it even better.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that is exactly what you need.
Because I think then that they become the trainer, not the mentor.
Yeah.
And they try to train you instead of mentor you. I think there's a big difference between training and mentorship.
Well, yes, when you're training, someone's telling you what to do, whereas when someone's mentoring you, let me think about it, it's almost like you come to the conclusion yourself.
Correct.
Yep, yep, absolutely. So leadership in the real estate industry is a bit up and down. If there was one thing that you could say to other leaders that has really worked for you, what would that be?
Take time to learn how to be a leader and give time to your people. And if you're going to talk to them, make sure you're engaged in that conversation, because what you might feel is not that important, they think it's the most important thing ever, and you need to be there to actually listen and help. Because I think we get caught up into the day-to-day and we can't understand why. But if anyone comes to me and wants to have a time with me, I know it's important to them. So put the phone away, be in the conversation, focus on what's important at that time, and understand that it must have been really, really important for them to come and see you. And so, therefore, it's all about them. So take time and spend time, but be focused when you have that time.
Is there anything you wished you'd known 20 years ago when you started in real estate?
Yeah. I wish I could tell you how many things I wish I knew. But if I was starting day one, I'd make sure I surround myself by good people early. I'd certainly listen a lot better, learn to do the basics well, master routine better than I could ever do before, and then understand that it's okay to make mistakes as long as you have a clear purpose in the fact that the outcome is about people. It's okay to make a mistake. I think too often I made a mistake and felt, oh, this is wrong, and got caught up in the mistake instead of saying, okay. And then sometimes don't change for the sake of change. Probably just do more of less. Then do less of more.
Yeah, that's an interesting, that's a topic that keeps coming up a lot actually, is that, you know, sometimes we get too busy doing the wrong things, whereas if you did less of the wrong things and more of the right things, then we'd all be a lot better off. And I say we because that's me too.
Yeah, I think it's in every business. We're always looking for next when it's getting engagement with now, and I think we could do a lot better.
Absolutely. Okay, tricky question coming up. If you were asked to give a TED talk on a particular topic that was not real estate related, what would it be?
Oh, geez, I don't want to sound typical, but family, the importance of actually being in the family life. As I said, and the only reason, that's an experience that I've learned, you know, like when I started building this business with Darren and Stav, you know, we were so excited in what we were doing, I actually forgot what was actually happening at home. And we'd go to work every day, excited, go to bed smiling at night, can't wait to get up in the morning. But the unfortunate thing with that was that I didn't actually realize at home they weren't sharing the same excitement with me, and then realizing that, okay, outside of that. So the importance of not only if I gave a TED talk to get to the answer, it would be about the importance of bringing people along with you, both family and friends, and not just about you.
What does leadership look like at home now?
If I'm in the room, I'm in the room.
Yeah.
I'm happy to leave the phone at the front door. Very much importance of understanding that I've got young kids and I've got a wife that deserve time. So for me, again, I'm lucky I'm in real estate. I don't necessarily work every weekend. So, you know, for me to sit there and take my girls to netball or to basketball on a Friday night, you know, that's success for me. So it's completely different there, you know, to sit down at the table at dinner and have that now. And I think that's success for me. So, you know, leadership at home is probably being more at home, being a father and a husband more than a leader.
What about the next 12 months? What are your goals for the next 12 months, and where do you see the property industry in 12 months' time?
Well, in Melbourne, I think it's a little bit light at the end of the tunnel. I don't think we're out of the woods. I hope a lot of agents clearly understand that the market's not going to change their direction, their behaviours will. So for us at O'Brien Real Estate, we're still focusing on people's behaviours. We think that if we can really focus on the customer experience in the next 12 months and understand the customer journey. Obviously, I think we, as agents, we all understand the customer journey really well, but don't really play out in the customer experience. But that comes down to, for us, getting back in front of our team and focusing on the customer experience. And it's often said, and I know it's the buzzword at the moment, but the reality of it is that no one's doing it great. And if we can get through 2020 and do it better, it'd be fantastic. I think it's an ongoing project for us. But I think personally at O'Brien Real Estate, we're really excited about, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, still got our organisation growing, got great people growing within themselves, and now we've just got an opportunity to amplify what we did last year with some energy because, as you said, we've worked so hard to get we worked harder than ever last 12 months, and you know, which won't say we won't work harder in the next 12 months, but we're really excited about it.
Are there any trends that you're picking up from consumers right now that you're going to be mindful of in the next year or 2 years?
From consumers, trends, investors are back in our marketplace, which is great. So we might focus on those core areas, create landlord customer service journeys, take that little bit up, put confidence back into the landlords to be in that marketplace, look at that as an organisation to make sure I got our fixed cost covering revenue coming in, make sure our property managers are better trained at the customer experience, because I think that will be a very core part of our business in the next 12 months because they're back in the marketplace. I seen a statistic the other day that the investors are going to spend nearly 50% more next year than they did in the last 12 months. So I think we've got to understand that trend and play to that trend, especially in our core marketplaces. And the sellers, I still think a lot of our aspirational suburbs are going to be down on opportunities because the market has shifted so far back. And if you're in an aspirational suburb, there is no need to sell. So we've got to get back in and understand that the value of a customer is greater than just a transaction. So yeah, we're going to focus on the customer experience and invest time into new landlords and understand the landlord experience.
Yeah, I think if you're investing into the customer experience, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, and but you've got to actually truly mean it. I said agents think they do, but generally they still invest into the transaction experience rather than the customer experience.
Yeah, I think people really want to believe in customer experience, but it's still easier to talk about me than to talk about, you know, what's going to be helpful for someone else. And as soon as everyone gets that shift in thinking, I think things will get better.
I'm really proud of being a real estate agent, and I'm really proud of our industry because I think we've gone further and further ahead in that customer experience economy. And as we're now talking about a customer more often than we're talking about us, it's only going to get better.
Can you recommend any resources or books or tools to people that might be new to the real estate industry?
Yeah, ultimately, I love, like everyone does, is the Jim Collins books. I think he makes it fantastic to us. I think from a leadership, the best one I read was Mastering the Rockefeller Habits. Latest one that I've read was The $1 Trillion Coach, Bill Campbell. I think that for any real estate agent, if they don't read, they don't know. I love reading. It's been a good pastime of mine. It certainly helped me. I think from leadership perspective, another one is the ultimate team player, understanding who. I could actually go on and on if you want. We actually have a book list on our internal dashboard that every time someone reads a book and highly recommend it, it goes on it. Every time I go to anything, okay, this is the latest book, guys, let's get on it. And my team, it's quite funny, when I go on holidays, before I walk out, they just say, what book are you reading? So they know I'm coming back. They get their short notes on it and they know what's going to be happening when I get back. So I think reading is learning, and for real estate agents, I think it's really important.
I'm starting to curate a book list of leaders in the industry. Shh, don't tell anyone.
Well, as you said, it's a shame, as you said, that I actually have a library behind my desk and everyone's entitled to come. They've just got to put their name, put it in and that and take it, because it's a big part of our growing real estate.
I love that. I love that. I just want to take a moment just to say thank you for sharing your knowledge. We've got to the end of the questions. You can breathe that big sigh of relief now.
Awesome. Thank you.
But thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with everyone and your journey. If there was one piece of advice that you could leave us with as a result of listening to the podcast, or if there's one thing that you want people to remember as a result of listening to the podcast, what would it be?
I'd like to think that if you're an agent and go away, understand why you do it and learn to do the basics well. If you're a leader, understand it's about your people, not you. And the way success is judged is about what people say about you, not what you think or the title you carry.
Dean O'Brien, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Sam.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.